Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, certainly we'd give consideration to it, but you'll have to contact us, and you can do so by the address that's given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. And are you interested in studying the Bible, but you want to do so at your own time, in the privacy of your own home? Or is there a Bible subject that you'd like to learn more about? Or would you like maybe to listen to some of these radio programs that might contain a subject that you're interested in? Well, there's a website that you can log on that will enable you to do all of these things. It is www.eastabbotville.org. And certainly we urge you to make use of the information that is available on that website. The four Gospels, as well as ancient Jewish sources like Josephus, affirm that Jesus was crucified by the command of Pontius Pilate. The only sources that we have concerning the actual burial of Jesus and the location of his tomb are in those four Gospels. It has been affirmed that we know more about the events leading up to the death of Jesus and burial than we know about any other person in the past. We know who took his body down from the cross, and Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19 are the Gospels that and the chapters that indicate who took his body down from the cross. We know something of the wrappings of his body and spices and the burial cloths from those same four chapters. We know that the tomb that Jesus was placed in was well known to both the friends and to the enemies of Jesus. And this is pointed out particularly in the last half of chapter 27 and in the first part of chapter 28 in the book of Matthew. We know that the name of the man that took the body of Jesus and placed it in his own rock tomb was Joseph of Arimathea, and Mark 15 and John 19 records that for us. We know that Jesus was crucified outside of the city walls, and again, all four Gospels, as well as we find the account in Hebrews 13, verses 10 through 13. And also, we know that a Roman guard was placed in front of the tomb to prevent the body from being stolen. And Matthew records that in chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. In fact, there is absolutely nothing in these accounts of Jesus' death and burial that should lead anyone to believe that they're just made-up stories. The fact that three of the four Gospels were written before 70 A.D. means that the accounts given has to be accurate. The Jewish Sanhedrin was still in power before the destruction of Jerusalem, and they certainly would have converged upon even the slightest discrepancy with a great vengeance. In fact, some scholars date Matthew and Mark to be as early as 44 to 55 A.D. 15 years surely would have been more than sufficient time to investigate the Gospels that were in circulation and come up with any errors that they might contain. But since the Gospels went unchallenged for 2,000 years and did go unchallenged 2,000 years ago, We should reject the sad attempts of skeptics today that try to disprove the greatest event since the creation of the universe. Joseph of Arimathea is a highly significant person. He was a wealthy member of the Jewish Council, the Jewish Sanhedrin, and he is described in Mark 15, verse 43, and also John 19, and verse 38, as being a secret disciple of Jesus. He approached Pilate and requested permission to bury Jesus in his own tomb. It was against Roman policy to hand over the bodies of criminals that were convicted of treason to friends or to relatives, but in this case, for whatever the reason, Pilate cooperated with Joseph's request. And what we find is an impressive internal proof of inspiration in the fact that these events were foretold 600 years before by the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 53 and verse 9, it says, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." You see, the presence of Joseph of Arimathea lends great support to the authenticity of Jesus' burial. The disciple could not have invented a false member of the Sanhedrin because they would have been exposed as liars. They could not have used the name of an actual member of the Sanhedrin falsely, or the Jews would have charged the disciples with slander. So this means that Joseph of Arimathea had to be an actual historical person, thus lending great credibility to the burial of Jesus. If Joseph buried Jesus in his own personal tomb, it means that when the disciples began preaching that Jesus arose from the dead, both friends and enemies of Christ could go and investigate it for themselves. Had Jesus' body remained in the tomb, the preaching to the disciples would have fallen on deaf ears. It's doubtful the disciples would have conceived such an un-Jewish concept of a spiritual resurrection and tried to pawn it off on the world. You know, the fact that the disciples preached the resurrection within the very city where Jesus was buried lends great support to the fact that the tomb was empty. This has led John Domain Crozon, co-founder of the Jewish Seminar, to surmise that Jesus' corpse was placed in a shallow grave and it was eaten by dogs. Friends, the fact that he offers no ancient documents to verify that proposition shows it is nothing more than just a figment of his imagination. The Jewish leaders provided hostile testimony that the tomb was empty when they told the guards to say that the disciples stole the body while they were sleeping. We read this account in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 11 through 14. Hostile testimony is the strongest form of proof in matters of historical validity. This argument was also refuted by Justin Martyr in the 2nd century in his book called Dialogue with Trofo, and so we have further evidence that the tomb was empty. And the argument that the disciples stole the body of Jesus, that's easily denied. First of all, the testimony of the soldiers who admitted that they were sleeping when the incident took place, well, that would be thrown out of any honest courtroom. How can a person testify to something that took place while they were sleeping? And another thing, had the disciples stole the body from the tomb, it's doubtful that they would willingly suffer persecution and even death for their deception. See, the fact that they received no material gain for their efforts, that's a silent argument for the authenticity of their faith. The history of arguments to explain away the empty tomb, all of those would be humorous if it wasn't for the fact that precious souls have been affected by them. You know, these so-called alternative explanations for the empty tomb, they just serve as powerful evidence for the resurrection of Christ. It takes a greater leap of faith to accept those than to just simply accept the resurrection itself. For example, one of the explanations that's given as to why the tomb wasn't empty was that the women just went to the wrong tomb. And this argument was advanced by Bishop Lake nearly 100 years ago. What he did was he claimed that when the women followed the funeral procession to the tomb, their eyes were filled with tears, which blurred their vision. And when they returned on the first day of the week, they met a gardener, and the gardener told them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here." And then, pointing to another grave, he tells the women, "See the place where they had laid him." The women then ran off in a panic, misunderstanding what the gardener told them. What a story. First of all, this argument is based upon the assumption that Mark is the earliest and therefore the most trustworthy gospel of all of the gospel that we have of the other gospels, and that Mark is filled with embellishments that is made by the early disciples as for the explanation of the empty tomb. But you know, assuming that the gospel of Mark is the earliest, this argument can be refuted by pointing out that overlooked phrase there in Mark 16, verse 6, "He is risen." No commentator or scholar has argued that this phrase is not in the original manuscripts, and thus we would have it to conclude that Lake deliberately twisted the scriptures to try to further his theory. And lastly, too, this argument can be refuted by noting that the women knew exactly where the tomb of Jesus was because they watched his body being placed in the tomb, Mark 15, verse 47. You know, perhaps Mr. Lake was never married, and had he been, he would have understood that women have a real knack for attention to details. No one today takes this idea seriously. And there are other recent attempts to explain away the empty tomb. For instance, Jesus had an unknown twin brother that no one knew about because he was switched at birth. When Jesus died on the cross and was buried, his twin slipped into town, stole the body out of the grave, and presented himself to his disciples as Jesus risen from the dead. Another one is that Jesus was an extraterrestrial. Friends, these arguments would make great stories for science fiction movies, but they are destructive to those individuals who are carried about by every wind of doctrine that comes along on the cable channels, claiming to provide up-to-date reporting of the facts, as they call them. It's true to uniform human experience that men do not rise from the dead. Naturally, atheists and agnostics must go for the alternative explanations, regardless of how silly they may be. For the Christian who believes in God, a resurrection is not that difficult at all. After all, if God can create out of nothing, he can also recreate out of existing material. The beloved Apostle Paul sums it up, I think, in the statement that he made before King Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 8. "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises from the dead?" Our time is gone. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.